Welcome to the Mindful Sports Podcast, Episode 3.
Mindful Sports, teaching mindfulness and sports together.
Today, we're going to be speaking with Nick Werber, an integrative coach in private practice based in New York City. Nick works with mindfulness and also with individual and inherited family trauma. He works with other modalities, helping people discover and utilize their inner compass. We continue to explore how mindfulness can be used in private practice and in healing. Nick, thanks so much for joining the Mindful Sports Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
So, Nick, I'd love to start off by asking you a little bit about your personal experience with mindfulness or other modalities that are similar to mindfulness, focusing on awareness, acceptance, and the continuous return to that moment as a method for healing.
Yes, mindfulness-based practices have had a huge effect on my life. You know, I was not someone that took to meditation from an early age. I came to a workshop that was led by, a psychologist that taught mindfulness-based tools. And from that workshop and kind of setting intention and connecting and, developing a practice in that way had a big effect on my life. And a lot of my mindfulness practice is really body focused. So I'm kind of connecting about, okay, not just what's here and now in terms of my emotions or what I'm thinking, but also what's here and now in terms of the felt sense of my body, which is really, our body tells us so many things and can really help clarify even like what's happening in a given moment. So that has had a huge effect for me. I would say that I occupy my body in a totally different way than I did prior to this work. And I feel just much more kind of integrated, like not just kind of in my thoughts all the time, that I have kind of both a connection to my felt sense and my thoughts in a way that's very helpful in the way that I work with other people and the way I kind of lead my own life.
Tell us a little bit more about what you're sharing on body awareness. That is an important part of mindfulness training, being aware of the body. And it sounds like that is an important part of your work.
Yeah, I think we're in a world that really emphasizes our thinking mind. And our thinking mind is incredible. We can retain so much information. And, I think the analogy is like going to school. How is school set up? You're sitting still. There's almost no attention to body movement at all. And you're facing forward and trying to cognitively memorize and take in a ton of information. And it's like, even in our schooling, we're so focused on how our mind can process and store things. And there's, maybe you get one class a day, plus your recess, you get gym and you get recess that attends to the body. And I think it's kind of becoming clear, I think, to a lot of people that there's a whole part of being a human being that's about physical expression and intimacy and touch and even, in some of the trauma work that I use, we talk about this kind of concept of fight, flight, or freeze and how we can go into these modes when we feel triggered. And one of the primary ways that we can get out of those modes of feeling super triggered and overactivated is actually movement, that we move when we put our body into motion. We do incredible things. And, this is not the modality I work in, but I'm just so excited about and interested in the Five Rhythms community, which is a whole like dance your way through healing, which is like so interesting to me. So I think the body is a really untapped resource that we don't, there's so much more potential there. And I know, especially, you know, if anyone out there is familiar with the book, like The Body Keeps the Score, I mean, we're just learning so much about how the body holds onto our experience and our memories. And if we have experienced something traumatic, it's held in the body, and it's just really good for us to have a relationship to it. It actually builds resilience and helps us navigate so many challenges in life.
Mm. Well, here at Mindful Sports, certainly that aligns with our philosophy of the importance of physical movement and helping children learn a foundation for mindfulness practice. And I'm curious in how else you utilize that type of physical motion in your healing work and your practice. Typically, like you just brought up with the images of school and the focus on cognitive attention, a lot of the common imagery around psychotherapy work involves sitting and talking. And I'm curious if you've found some spaces to involve more body awareness and physical motion in some of your work.
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, and it's always, you're kind of introducing these things when it makes sense to, you know, it's okay. And we can explore a lot from a seated position, but for some people, and I include myself in this, that it's very comfortable for me if I'm exploring something that's maybe personal or vulnerable to sort of get quiet and a little bit lethargic and zoning out. And for people like me, standing up is like intervention number one, like get up out of the chair and maybe just start to listen to, like, does your body want to sway right now? How's your breathing? Is there a place you like to look around the room? Is there something that's kind of pleasing to look at? And sometimes we do some kind of motion. And one of the things, or technique again, for helping people that, I mean, they do this stuff in the VA, working with soldiers coming back from war, it's finding rhythm in the body. So movements that are kind of rhythmic have incredible power in helping people kind of come back into, you know, instead of those shocked places where it's very, people, their awareness is often really internal and kind of, it's a very private experience. It's rhythm and movement actually has a way of bringing us outside of ourselves again and connecting with the people around us. And I had no idea I'd be talking about dance so much, but I'm coming back to that idea again today, that, like, wow, power of movement and dance and social connection, which I think of as, like, that's part of what, like, our highest potential is really about aliveness and connection. And I think movement is a big part of it. And I'm it's also, of course, bringing me to what you do in sports, and just like what a amazing kind of synthesis of all of that, of movement, connection, belonging, teamwork. I mean, that it's like when we're in those states, that's aliveness. That's, you know, the opposite of, you know, the experiences of, it's kind of like the opposite of suffering in some way. I don't know, maybe that's kind of a big topic, but I'm just, that's what comes up.
I love that. And speaking of all of that and that movement, and you mentioned sports as well, let's take a quick step back into your experience as a former athlete. And full disclosure, Nick and I grew up together playing ice hockey together. And I'd love to hear what you can recall about that when we were growing up, when you were playing hockey, parts of that experience that might have been challenging for you, any parts of that experience that, as we've grown up and you've immersed yourself fully into this healing world and now do this professionally, if there are any parts of that experience growing up playing sports that you found challenging And if there are any parts of that experience that you feel some of your current and present work might have been helpful for your younger self?
I love this question because I've done a few talks like this and no one's ever asked me about my experience in sports. People don't know that I did a lot of sports growing up. I played two sports every season, basically, plus extra stuff in the summer. So I'm giving an answer I've never talked about before. So I would say, I think the number one thing sports gave me was the, not just the cliche that you get better with practice, but the literal experience of knowing that's true. That I was an obsessive practicer. And so much so, my father actually kind of like would get a little annoyed at like how I'd never get tired catching the ball. Like I could just do it over and over again. And for me, I can reference back to even those young ages and know there was this, I always like getting better at things. I love when there's kind of incremental, like I can see my growth and that sort of a thing. So that was the part of sports that I really always enjoyed and resonated with. And I'm always practicing the work I do and reading more and learning more and learning from every experience and learning more from even this conversation. You know, it's I like practice, and that came very much from sports. I think the part that was challenging for me to kind of answer that side of the question with sports was I was a very quiet, shy kid in many different phases of my childhood. And so the connection and belonging piece was a big challenge with sports. And, you know, it's for me, I ended up finding that, I think, most profoundly, actually, when I in music. So I kind of had to find it a little bit more in a different realm for whatever reason. So, you know, it's another kind of form of belonging, and I played in bands and stuff. But that was the piece that I obviously know that a lot of people learn so much about connection and belonging and finding a tribe through sports. And that was the part that I definitely had struggled with when I was young.
I really appreciate those candid answers. And the first part of your answer is actually something that I hadn't thought about, which is how your sports experience as a child can impact your approach to other elements of your adult life, and specifically the integration of those habits into how you approach your professional life today. Certainly, connectedness and belongingness and learning dynamics between teammates and how to work together in a group are all critical elements of sports when they're taught in the right way. And at Mindful Sports, as we start to further include self-regulation practices and bring that into all of those experiences, I'm always interested in how we, as adults who may not have had that experience, how we could have used that self-regulation training to help our overall experience, which can be really difficult as a child playing sports. And I'm curious if anything comes up for you on that. Of course, it's okay if not, but I'm always curious about how we could use what we know now to help our younger self.
Yeah, you know, I almost want to come back to that at second to just share one thing that's kind of bubbling up for me to kind of speak in mindfulness way of speaking right now, is that practice really does, you know, make someone better. I'm really connecting to, as we're talking right now, how much that is like a superpower that I have, and that I'm an appreciation for that and a gratitude for that, because not everyone has that. That I think sometimes people it's really challenging to find the motivation to dedicate themselves to something. And I'm not saying I'm like a champ at that always, but there is this part of me that just is almost like wildly, radically optimistic that I always can get better at something. Like it's almost probably overshooting like the reality. Like there's probably some limits, but there's a part of me that just thinks, well, if I put 10,000 hours into it, I could get there. I always feel that way. And that's enormously helpful in my life. And I absolutely credit a lot of that to sports stuff. So I'm appreciating just being able to talk about this and connect to that. I unfortunately forgot the next part of the question.
No worries at all. I had just asked if anything came up for you in terms of how you might be able to utilize your current experience with self-regulation training, both in your personal life and with what you do professionally. If you had to offer any of that to your younger self who was performing in sports, or you mentioned music as well, any type of performance, is there anything that you feel like might be helpful for your younger self that could use some of the mindfulness related skills that you've learned and practiced as an adult?
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, I don't work with children. So there's this part of me that's like, how would I explain it to him? But I think one of those things is just to know that whatever you're experiencing, you're never alone in it. And that you might be surprised that the people on your soccer team or baseball team or your coach might have more to kind of offer or to relate or to connect than you might expect. And I think, like I mentioned that kind of shyness, I think there was a part of me that felt like I've got to figure this all out on my own. And I think a suggestion would be like, you know, it's, you might be surprised how many resources are around you. And it just takes that one, you know, a really helpful mentor or a coach or a teammate that can be enormously helpful. So that's what comes to mind.
That's awesome, Nick. And I'm glad that you brought up the communication to children and how important that is. What a great reminder for kids that they're not alone, and that what they're going through is a lot of what we go through as adults. And my last question for you is about that. You work primarily with adults in your private practice, and I'd love to hear more about how you feel that mindfulness is helpful for you with any modalities that you use in any form, and how it's helpful specifically in working with your clients.
It's hard to distill because it's sort of a part of everything I do, everything I say, the way I move, you know, the way I conduct a conversation. So it's a piece of it. I think a lot of people that I work with already have some experience with mindfulness in one way or another. So it's fun to meet people kind of on that level. But just in general, if I'm starting maybe with someone that hasn't really connected with their body before or is exploring this for the first time, one of the things I'd like to just talk about is this kind of power of, you know, once you've identified something, once you've become aware of it, once you're curious about it, it's, you've already done like I would say a majority of the work, quote unquote, that there is to do. You know, so much of our life and our experience is floating in that, the unconscious, this realm that, you know, we're not really aware of. And as soon as it's like, oh, you know, I'm realizing just like I did in this call today, like I have this kind of wildly optimistic belief about practice and that I can always get better. You know, that for me, this isn't something I'm working on. It's now like a resource of realizing, hey, you know, that's something that's pretty cool about Nick, actually, that I didn't even realize until just now. And I would say that that's almost like a classic example of mindfulness, that something, you know, through this conversation came up, and now my identity and how I think of myself is a little bit different than when I started this conversation. So that's one example. And I think, you know, in my coaching practice, where people have very specific goals about their career, and, you know, it's, I think one of the challenges about life is that there's only so much we can control, if anything, about the external world, but there's enormous power that we have to work on ourselves and to learn about ourselves. And so I think that's a big piece of the mindfulness work that I do, is that as we learn about ourselves, as we connect to ourselves more deeply, we show up different to work. We show up different in our relationships. So yeah, it's like, how does mindfulness factor into my work? It's like, what am I? It's like, there's nothing I'm doing that's not mindfulness. So it's kind of everything.
I love that. And certainly that resonates with me and our team here at Mindful Sports too. So that answer is very heard and appreciated. For our listeners who are interested in learning more about Nick, you can check him out on his website, Nick, N as in Nancy, Werber, Werber.com, or on Instagram at nwerber. And Nick, can you tell our listeners a little bit about any online programs that you have coming up?
Sure. So, you know, normally I do a lot of in-person workshops and have been doing retreats internationally in recent, but with the pandemic, we've gone online. And the main thing that's coming up is that in May, so we just actually sold out at totally full capacity for this program that started in February. So because of demand, we're going to do it again. It's a focalizing practitioner course, and focalizing is, you know, the main modality, the main practice that I work from, which is this body-oriented, body-informed practice. And so we go, we're going to be doing 10 weeks, and it's a two-hour meeting every Sunday. And a lot of it is just, how do we connect in with this kind of innate intelligence of our body, listening to its signals, listening when, like, hey, I feel uncomfortable right now. What is that? Why is that? And just getting more in tune with that. And some of the people in the class will be practitioners, maybe even a few therapists, and some people will just be there for their own personal learning process. So that starts in May, and it's actually up on my website right now that you can kind of inquire for more information if you're interested.
Awesome. That all sounds great, Nick. Thanks again for joining us today on the Mindful Sports Podcast. I really appreciate your time, and we hope to have you back soon.
Thanks for having me, Sam.